apologizing, writing in pencil. Or say, I'm writing this in pencil, a hurried note or something and so. Mm-hmm. Though when he wrote a letter during the Battle of Wafersboro, his wife was right behind the lines a few miles, he had everything but small arms. He sent by courier, one or two people she knew had been killed, my horse was shot under me, the general and the staff were safe. I was in ink. He had to write it hurriedly during the heat of battle, gave it to a courier who was going to the rail. And that's in ink, I have that, incidentally, copies that was going to be in the thing. But later on, a pencil's appear every once in a while, not in Grandfather's notes, because I know even at the end at Greensboro, time of surrender to Sherman by Johnson's army, he was on John's staff, he said, well, it was a question of commuting a sentence for a man who had been sentenced to die, and Johnston was a hard man, he never commuted sentences, but Grandfather describes a time where he knew the war was over. There had been a long message in code, been translated that night, and as he slept on the floor in this little cabin with the man who was the telegraph, he said, the next morning before sunrise, General Johnson, fully dressed, walking up and down with the fly of his tent, and he said, Major, do you know what regiment that young man was in who was going to be executed at sunrise this morning? And Grandfather said, yes. He said, well, commute the sentence right away. And Grandfather said, I always carried with me a metal cylinder in which I had my pen and ink. So he wrote out a quick dispatch, and General Johnson signed it. He put on a courier and took it to that regiment as fast as he could. And he said, whether it got there in time, I don't know. I hope it did. And he said, and maybe the man's still alive. He probably is. I'm still alive, and he was younger than I was. But so there at the very end of the war, he, as a staff officer, still wrote dispatches in pen and ink. Mm-hmm. But about the same time, he wrote a letter in pencil and apologized for it. So the pencil probably just, I mean, you could capture a bunch of Yankee prisoners. What you going to do? You're going to get the pistol. You're going to get the tobacco. You're going to get it in the gut. And I said, by the way, soldier, Johnny Yank, you got any lead pencils with you? Uh-huh. Those little quaint things that I forget about. Now you bring them all out.
Let's see, on the outside of a house, you know, you see these houses, and upstairs you have shingles here. Some of them they'll have these overlapping sort of...
Yeah, the clapboard. Yeah.
Call it that. Do you ever call that anything else?
No, I think clapboard is the only thing. You don't want me to say the facade, do you?
No. What about now if they go up and down?
I know it, but they go side by side. They don't overlap.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what you call that. It's a plain wooden slab house.
Okay.
They're wooden slabs, so you know it's a wooden slab, but you know they don't overlap.
Yeah.
I think clapboard applies only to the overlapping, like shingles overlap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then the little things around the edge of the roof that carry the water off.
Gutter. Downspout.
That's
a downspout.
Is there a difference?
The gutter. Man will come by him, somebody turn around, no good fellow needs a job. Can I clean out your gutters and downspouts? All these fall leaves are falling, I've been cleaning out. And I always do, and I never give anybody the job. Every once in a while I have the house repainted, had to be cleaned out. Downspout, how about a leader?
I hadn't heard that. I've never heard that.
Leader, I think, is a synonym for downspout. I know the term is used. I never was quite certain what it meant. But I think L-E-A-D-E-R, I guess. L-E-A-D, lead pencil is the first thing I've seen. Lead pencil, a pencil that contains a thin stick of